Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lonzo, I have to say that this is fascinating watching your computer update. I have never seen this happen before. We were sitting at 86% for a while, right around the end of the program, the end of the last hour through the break, and now it's gone back to 77. I've never seen it go backwards in its progression when a computer is updating. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
I wonder if we're eventually going to go back to 12% and have to start all over. It's just, so officially we are at 77%, although we have been as high as 86% throughout this process. Welcome back to the Upstate Pulse Nerd Hour. This hour, Lonzo just shaking his head over there. He is frustrated beyond belief that we can't get the Facebook feed up and running. But that's why you're missing it, is because the computer that does that work in the middle of a Windows update. So we are bringing you regular Windows update updates to let you know what the update is. Text line 71307 if you would like to get into the conversation. Lonzo is also distracted by South Carolina playing against Tennessee right now, and they are winning, to their credit.
For the moment.
But they have scored first against number 16 ranked Tennessee, and it seems
Tennessee
to be,
has,
well,
now
there
scored.
You go. There you go. That was the touchdown right there. So now, provided the extra point kick goes through, that it will be a tie game at 7 in between Tennessee and University of South Carolina.
I'm not distracted by it. I can do two things at once. I've been doing this for years.
I understand that, but you were looking at the TV. That's all I meant. You were paying attention to
You know why? Because I can't look at the cameras right now because they're not working, which is
true.
What I normally
not,
do.
They're so. Not working. 71307 if you'd like to participate in the conversation. One texter has a series of texts here, which I thought was an interesting progression as we were going through the list of top 500 albums as voted on by Rolling Stone and a bunch of music industry insiders, you know, people in the music industry. Texter, first of all, says, what's this a list of? Now I have to listen to see what this cockamamie list is all about. Okay, it doesn't matter what this list is. This list sucks. So, and again, that's what lists wind up doing, is, you know, alienating and polarizing people. Some people like the choices that that were made on there, and some people don't. Another texter says, American Pie by Don McLean, Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack, early albums by Jimmy Buffett, anything Etta James or Balsam Range. And again, I started going through the whole list. You can find it. Just search for Rolling Stone Top 500 or something. It's on the Rolling Stone website. You can look at the entire list. It's not behind a paywall or anything like that. So you can go see if what you like is on it. I was surprised to see that some of the stuff that was on it, The Cars, showed up. And not that I'm surprised to see that on there. The Cars album, the original self-titled Cars album, excellent album. It's like a greatest hits album, except it was just an album. Like, every single song on there is good. Another texter says, remember that musicians listen to music differently. So we will hear tempo and key changes and structures that most people don't pick up on. In addition, albums that broke new ground, i.e. Public Enemy, as we mentioned, are always exciting. My favorite album is Doolittle by the Pixies. Pixies was another one that I found in the 400s, high 400s, low 400s, high 300s, somewhere in there. It actually was not Doolittle. It was Surfer Rosa, which I know was another highly influential album.
And I will say that, you know, I'm a retired musician, sure. And Chris was in musical theater.
I was.
So, and
other musical ventures.
So we understand all that. And he and I will
actually studied music theory.
We will sit in the office a lot of times and talk about a song and mm-hmm. certain parts of the song. So yeah. We absolutely get that.
We can analyze a song. Just on our own. I did not find Doolittle, but it wouldn't surprise me to see if it's on the list. I didn't get through the whole list. Texture goes on, absolutely beautiful and groundbreaking. I still listen to it weekly after all these years. They were a big influence on so many bands, including Nirvana and the entire grunge movement. And that's one of the things that I said is that, especially the Pixies, I know that they were influential on a lot of different bands growing up. We mentioned the same thing about the Beatles, you know, that a lot of people were influenced by the Beatles. Pixies' big influence was the Sonics. Check them out. Texter has this question. If you can work this in, please explain the difference between Walmart's $299 PS4 and the $399 PS4. Why should I spend the extra $100? I believe, because I don't have a PS4, maybe Lonzo can back me up on this, but I believe that Sony did something similar to what Microsoft did with the Xbox One, which was after the initial release, the original console came out, they re-released two updates. There's the Xbox One S, which was basically the hardware of the original Xbox, just in a smaller package. It was miniaturized a bit and takes up less space
on the
console. Yeah, there you go. And then they also had the Xbox One X, which is actually a more powerful processor, is a more powerful computer inside the console box.
And I have both, and I do believe that Chris is right. That's the difference in the PlayStation.
So I think Sony did the same thing with the PS4. After the initial console came out, they had a re-release, and there is a PS4 Slim, which again is the older hardware that just isn't. It's basically the original console just slimmed down. And then there's the what I think they call the PS4 Pro, which is the updated hardware that's more powerful than the original issue. So that's what the price difference is going to be. Both of them will play PS4 games. If you are looking at a console and cost is not an issue, I would suggest going with the Pro, just because you're going to get the best experience.
It also depends on what kind of TV you have. If you have a 4K TV, that's you want to go point. With a you want to. If you don't, you're probably not going to see that much.
Yeah, you're probably not going to. The games will run at a higher frame rate and things like that. Although the Slim is not. If cost is an issue, go with the cheaper one because you're going to get basically the same functionality out of it that you will out of the Pro. It's just not going to be quite as responsive.
And more than likely, it wouldn't shock me if there's not another price drop here pretty soon with the PlayStation 5.
I've kind of been waiting
out.
For one. In fact, yeah. I was just looking today if there was anything like that on the horizon, and I don't see it yet, but with the new consoles coming out in just a couple of months, I don't see how they can't, you know? I mean, either that or just take them off the market entirely, but that usually doesn't happen either.
No, especially when they're still going to be making games for it for a while before they stop.
Guys, the first thing I would consider mixing with mac and cheese is bacon. Yeah. My wife tried that last week, and none of my kids liked it. Don't know why. They love mac and cheese, and they love bacon, but putting them together, I think they're too young, and it just was sort of a palate shock.
Well, maybe, was it crunchy bacon or chewy bacon?
It was, I don't remember. It was whatever bacon we had.
Because if you're expecting your macaroni and cheese to be soft and suddenly crunches.
And then it's crunchy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is young kids like that still are developing their palates and they're sensitive to things like texture and color and smell and stuff like that. And they just don't have the refined palates that adults have. And so that, I think, was why that went wrong. My wife was incredibly frustrated. She was like, I don't know why they don't like it. She was eating it. She was like, it's delicious. It's fantastic.
All right, we'll get back to more of your texts in a little while.
One tip before we move on, a little bit of garlic in the mac and cheese.
There you go.
Nice touch.
We've been talking about a lot of music, and every once in a while a new song will come out, and we'll play it just to see what you guys think. And in this case, even through my drainage, I was smart enough to not put down who did this song because I wanted Chris to listen
to
the song.
Oh, you want me
to guess? No.
Here's, that's fine.
I am.
You love ambushing me on the show, and I've come to.
It's not like that. It's psychological. I'm curious.
He's giving you a hard time, Lonzo.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious if knowing who it is would influence whether you liked it or not. So in this case, I can almost guarantee you will not guess who it is.
I will say that there are, before we even start, I will say that there are a few artists that I just don't like.
This is not someone who normally does music.
So
there we go. And I'm going to go ahead and play it because time is ticking.
I like the beat right off the bat. It's nice.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My first guess is an athlete.
No.
Wait.
Listen to a little bit more.
Okay.
Think movie star. Think action movie star.
Also, Sam Jackson?
No.
I'm trying to place the voice. My first guess was Shaq, and I listened to a little bit more of it, and I was like, no, it's not Shaq.
No, but Shaq is a pretty good rapper. But so no. Shaq has put out rap albums. This guy's first.
Bring it back up.
He's also been in Marvel movies, including the biggest Marvel movies of all time. Let me rephrase that. His voice has been in Marvel movies, the biggest movies of all time.
Okay.
And he says the same thing over and over again. All right.
Mark Ruffalo?
No.
Hulk smash.
No. There's one character that says the same thing.
Oh. Vin Diesel?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Vin Diesel.
Huh. You know, that's interesting. I know that Vin Diesel has a lot of different interests, and so it doesn't surprise me that music making might be one of them. I don't know that I would have placed that by his voice, by the voice in the song.
To steal something from our friend Rob Brown, I don't hate it.
And I don't hate it.
Yeah, and
it was I was listening to it kind of critically, and I could hear some things that could have been better. But it's certainly not a bad try. It's definitely better than a bunch of stuff I've heard on YouTube.
Now, would you have been more critical if you knew who it was?
If anything, I think I would have been more impressed because I would not have expected that from Vin Diesel.
I saw it was trending yesterday and I wanted to check it out and I listened to it yesterday. I actually did show prep last night. So yeah, I listened to it last night and I was shocked. And I had show contributor Cameron listen at the same time and had Raven listen because I'm curious about, you know,
sure.
Raven's
reactions.
More into that music. She got mad that I turned it off before the drop.
Oh, yeah. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You turned it
off before the drop.
Yeah,
it's like, I heard enough.
You learned a lesson.
No, but I heard enough and I didn't want to hear the whole thing. Yet.
No.
Even when I recorded it earlier, I left the room because I was getting my print off.
Turn it off before the drop.
Yeah. Well, the reason why is so I can have some reactions, some genuine reaction on the radio.
I understand. I will say this. It sounds like he's got a decent amount of natural talent. I think he could benefit greatly from some voice lessons.
Unless if he was doing something jazz and for this venue or this genre that he's in,
I don't have to. I don't necessarily mean genre-specific voice lessons. I mean, just in general, like he could be a lot better. And that's not a criticism. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying that I think he's got a lot of talent.
What was really funny about it and how I discovered it is I saw Eddie Murphy was trending. I'm like, why is Eddie Murphy trending? So
I could see Eddie Murphy doing another. Actually, that probably would have been another guess of mine eventually.
Well, so Eddie Murphy was trending. Don Johnson was trending. So all these stars who had hits on the radio were suddenly trending, and all these people are going back and listening and finding out that they actually had hit songs too, which is it's kind of cool. So it's opened up people to listening to some other artists that they normally wouldn't.
Texter says auto-tune at its finest. Another texter has guessed. Flacido Domingo says it's Terry Crews. No, well, we've discovered now that you were wrong, but I, you know what? I gotta say,
that's not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess. Before I knew who it was, I probably would have guessed that. I would have used your guess if I had seen it before Lonzo had told me the answer.
That would be cheating.
Well, I would have given the texter credit. I wouldn't have said, "Oh yeah, let me just steal this guess."
Yeah, there we go.
Terry Crews.
No, really, I had that guess before I read it.
But that's a good guess.
Yes, it is. All right, listen to Upstate Pulse right here on 106.3 WRD. When we come back, we're going to talk video games.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into the Upstate Pulse. Lonzo and Chris on a beautiful Saturday night. Having fun, like we always do. Text line 71307. We are now going to talk some video games because we love talking video games.
Windows update 94%.
I put the cameras up. So
I know.
So,
we're not going to get to it tonight.
We're going to do it anyway.
Sorry. We'll do it next week.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Assuming that Microsoft doesn't push another humongous
Speaking
update.
Speaking of Microsoft, what a great segue. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Microsoft made a big purchase that shocked a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And,
this is big news.
It made me pretty happy, I got to say. We'll hopefully I stay happy. Microsoft bought Bethesda and for $7.5 billion. Now, if you...
Well, and specifically ZeniMax Media, which is the parent company of Bethesda, but it included Bethesda and several other software companies, video game companies. So there are a bunch of high-profile titles that are now going to be under the Microsoft umbrella.
Including the Elder Scrolls, Doom, Fallout.
Fallout.
So one thing.
Several others.
Yes. And a bunch of other stuff. So what makes me happy about this is if you have Game Pass, these Microsoft games, the new ones show up on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So
they're on Game Pass.
So right away, I don't have to pay the $60 for that. I'm going to get it for cheaper.
We have discussed already how good a deal Game Pass is. I don't know how. I mean, I'm certain that they must have run the numbers and figured out how to make money on Game Pass. I don't know what those calculations are for Microsoft, but they seem to be pushing it, and it is incredible value. And this just adds to it. When you can get more and more premium titles available for free, or rather for a subscription fee per month, as little as $5 a month, I believe, if I remember correctly. I have the ultimate version of Game Pass, which is $15 a month, except that I'm not paying that because I was able to convert my old accounts, and I got 3 years of Game Pass for like a dollar. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's insanely good value. Even if you don't get the deal that I got, it's incredibly good value, and putting titles like this on there just makes it even better.
And I'm also excited for Starfield. I mean, we've heard a bunch about that, and we're going to be able to get that too I don't know if this speeds anything up or slows anything down. It's probably going to go the same pace that it usually does. Bethesda, they take their time before they put a game out.
Yeah, they're like Blizzard. You know, they wait until the game is right to go ahead and publish it. I think, was it last week that we talked about Sony saying that they're not going to have a competitive product to Microsoft's Game Pass? I don't know why, because Microsoft is pulling it off so incredibly well.
Well, according to them, they can't make money doing it.
And that's what I was wondering. Is again, internally, Microsoft must have crunched some numbers and figured out how they can make money with this, because I don't think they'd be doing it at a loss. I understand launching consoles at a loss. You know, when a console comes out, even if it's $500, it's chances are it costs more than that to make and ship and actually put on a store shelf. So they're losing money on the console, but they expect to make money back on the games that people buy for it. Mm-hmm. I get that business model. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it, I mean, it's been working apparently for console makers for decades now. So I understand that approach. I don't know how you could pull that off with something like Game Pass. I don't know how you could provide that service at a loss and still find some way to make it work in the long run, because the service is the service. That's all people are paying for.
Yeah.
And it's $60 a game. I mean, when games come out these days, they are $60. High profile games like Fallout, like Skyrim, like that kind of stuff, they debut at $60, if not more.
And then they stay that way for a long time because they're open world, they're big. You're putting, you know, 60 to 100 and something hours into gameplay itself.
And you want that. I saw a really interesting perspective this week on the specifically the ZeniMax purchase by Microsoft, and more generally about Game Pass, which is that this is a boon for people who have disabilities and still want to game, disabled gamers, whether it's vision problems or hearing problems or, you know, amputations or you know, physical characteristics that prevent them from using controllers the way that, that you know, other people do. This provides them, Game Pass specifically provides them an opportunity to try out games that they would have otherwise bought, spent $60 on, not knowing whether they could even play the game. If the game hasn't taken into account disabled gamers in its game design, they might have bought something. And return policies for video games are not very good.
It's like buying a car.
Once you bought it, you bought it. And sending it back is especially for digital delivery. But with Game Pass, you just have access to the library. For $15 a month, you can try out anything. And if it turns out that the game is not designed for you, whatever your disability is, you just delete it and go to get a different game. And that's incredible value for a relatively underserved population.
All right, so apparently Chris had a experience with xCloud.
I did. You know, so we talked about this a while ago. I actually got into the beta for the console streaming version, which I don't remember the name of right now, but it was X something. It's basically Microsoft's streaming to tablets or smart devices, smartphones, tablets, that kind of thing. And we talked about it a while ago, and I was not particularly impressed with it. I think it's an ambitious project. The execution of it at the time was not good enough to make it an option for doing something other than the console. You know, it did not draw me away from using my console. xCloud just runs over Wi-Fi, and it's basically using Wi-Fi to play games on your phone or tablet. I will say one of my complaints from before still remains, which is my phone's screen is just a little too small. I can understand playing this on a tablet, something like an 8-inch or 10-inch screen, 12-inch tablet, something like that. That I could see being useful. I was impressed at how well it worked. I also was trying to put, when I originally tested this, I tested games with a lot of action. Forza Horizon 4 is one of my favorites to play. And the problem was the latency. It did not respond quickly enough to actually make competitive driving feasible. In games where you have to shoot somebody before they shoot you, first-person shooters, that kind of thing, probably not going to work well enough, again, because of the latency issue. I was playing, this time, playing over Wi-Fi through xCloud, I was playing some strategy games, which are turn-based, which, you know, take their time. You get to wait a while to decide what to do, and that actually worked really well, because by the time you hit the button and everything goes to process the actions for the turn, it doesn't matter if you're reacting quickly enough. The latency is a lot less of an issue, and I think that just has to do with the game genre. But I was impressed at how far it's come, and I hope that it continues to get better, because I can say, I know that Microsoft is pushing this too. This is something that just debuted. If you have, and I say just, like in the past few weeks, if you have an Android device, this is something that you can get. I think it works best with Game Pass. I don't know if Game Pass is required to use it, but it might be. So if you don't also have the Game Pass service or a subscriber to the Game Pass service, you might not be able to do anything with it. But it is available on Android devices right now, devices that are running the latest version of Android. I don't think it's going to work with older phones. My dad just got gifted a Samsung Galaxy S3, which was from, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago. I had one of those and I really liked it, but I don't think it's going to work with the newest software.
So generally,
thumbs up. I think it's got some improvements to make, but it's come a long way, and I think it could be really good eventually.
All right, let's talk about what we're playing before we go to break. I will say that I got, for my birthday, I got Fallout 4 for PlayStation just for a couple reasons. One, just because I wanted it, and for some reason I like having the same game on every console or whatever I have, just because I can. And it was my birthday, and I didn't see anything new that I really wanted yet. So I got it, and I tried to not play with mods for a while. But I wanted to see the difference between the mods on PlayStation and the mods on Xbox. And I will say the Xbox mods are so much better than PlayStation mods. For some reason, and show contributor Cameron pointed this out to me, it's real easy for them to make something on computer and port it over to a mod on Xbox. Yeah. It's much easier to do on that than it is on PlayStation. So I went looking for my favorite mods from Xbox on PlayStation, and only a couple of them were there. And on Xbox, you can have, there are radio stations that you can download. Like there's a, like if you like Van Halen, you can put, have Van Halen music playing in the background. There's just playlists that people put on there. I cannot find those in PlayStation. So there are a bunch of things like superhero costumes. If you want your guys, like there's Batman, several of Batman armors, which they statted them up really good, that you can get on Xbox. You can get nothing like that on PlayStation. So the thing is, Xbox is so much better at modding. And I was curious about that because I've heard the modding community, you read stuff that the modding community of Xbox, kind of they look down on PlayStation. And now just from the small sample size, from the small sample size, I can tell why, and they should. All right, what you play?
Let's see. What did I play this week? I went back and played some Juju. It's a game that I think I've mentioned on here before. It is a kids platformer. It's clearly marketed towards children, although there is some fairly decent platforming gameplay in it. But my kids are just enamored with it. I think this is going to be one of their early gaming memories. The way that I remember playing the original Super Mario Brothers on the original NES Nintendo Entertainment System console, that's where I started. That's where I cut my gaming teeth, and this is going to be where my kids cut their gaming teeth, is on a game called Juju with a little pink bear in it, a Pepto-Bismol-colored bear. And it's actually not as objectionable as it seems. Actually, I've found a bit of challenge in it because there are some things that you can unlock by performing as well as possible on different levels. And that's been kind of my quest to keep myself entertained, is when the kids, you know, when it's my turn to pick the level, I go back and pick one that we haven't finished all the stuff on, and then I go do all the stuff. So I'm actually unlocking stuff. I played some Dungeon of the Endless. I think I mentioned this last week. And it's one that I keep going back to over and over again. I don't remember now if I put it on my top 20 games of all time list, but it's definitely close. It may even deserve to be on there at this point. It's just, it is so replayable. I cannot even describe it.
All right. So Chris mentioned Games with Gold.
Yes.
Game, The Division, and that he was playing it.
Yeah.
And he described it to me, and I didn't tell Sugar Tuber Cameron anything about it.
Yeah.
About what the game was about. And so we were playing together, and I was a little bit ahead of him. Once you get to the hub, then you can play together.
Yes.
He's like, oh my God, this is just like what's going on in the world. And yeah. I was like, yeah, that's the reason Chris told me about that.
Yeah, this
and that's
was,
the reason why I wanted to play it. Just first of all, to see the cutscenes, to see
this is an experience that I had this week.
It's an accurate depiction of what's going on and what could go on.
This is a game that came out 4 years ago. It debuted 4 years ago. It's a Tom Clancy game. If you recognize that name, you'll recognize Rainbow Six and a bunch of novels. And so, decent storyline here. This game came out 4 years ago. I wanted to play it when it originally came out, and it just this month was released through Microsoft's Games with Gold program. If you have a Microsoft Live Gold membership, you get 4 free games a month. And one of them this month, for the month of September, which is coming up on the end, so make sure you go download this game before time runs out on it, is Tom Clancy's The Division. And the opening cutscene, I actually talked to Tara about this during the week. The opening cutscene looks very much like what is going on today with the pandemic. It's a little bit different. In the case of the video game, it is an actual biological weapon that is intentionally released through tainted cash. Through money that is released during.
Well, we don't know that COVID is not a biological weapon that was intentionally released.
Not getting into it, but the specifically was released during Black Friday, the Black Friday holiday shopping season, the kickoff to the holiday shopping season. So money was changing hands a lot. It spread this engineered virus all over. I think they originally speculated that it was the flu, but it turns out to have been a variant of smallpox. And this pandemic ensues. You see people wearing masks in New York City. You see looting and rioting that the police cannot control. And so the National Guard is called in. And they one of the last things you see in the cutscene is one of the National Guard guys turning around to the camera going, "We're not trained for this." And then it cuts off and you get this like test pattern signal as though everything has gone dark at the TV station. It's uncanny how similar it is to the situations that we're seeing. Now, I will also say the situation in The Division is worse than we're seeing in America today. However, I will also say that it is realistic enough that I had qualms as a Division agent going out and interacting with people in New York. The first mission that you get to go rescue some people, I was attempting to do like hostage negotiation, and these guys just started shooting at me. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to kill them. I recognized that I would not do this. If this were Assassin's Creed, you know, if this were Mass Effect or Fallout, I'd just walk up and shoot people. You know, I'd hide behind stuff and snipe people unawares because you get bonuses for doing that. It's easier to take out enemies that way. But this was so realistic, I found myself apprehensive to actually assault anybody to try and kill them.
Now, see, I took a different approach. To me,
you just run up there and shoot.
No,
people.
No. We discussed this. This could possibly be training. So, and that's what I took it as, because
what
you're wanting to do should have happened.
But see, that's the thing.
Should have happened way before level that we're at.
I don't want to experience scenarios like as are depicted in The Division in real life. That's something I am actively trying to avoid. And so when it was presented in The Division and it was so similar to real life, it just put me in this mindset. And it was a little surreal having experienced this because I could see myself going through this. And I was like, I can already tell I'm not going to play this game the way that they expect me to, at least not for a little while, because it's so realistic.
Well, see, if I immerse myself in this thing, which is real easy to do, I'm the guy who's not going to put too much thought into that. Not that I don't in real life. I think of all scenarios and everything, but I think I would get there a little bit quicker than you would and just go ahead and take
what I
would do.
And like I said before, the situation in the division is way worse than the situation is in real life. So far. Yes, so far. Basically, the entire island of Manhattan is a war zone. And worse than that, it's anarchy. It's just complete anarchy. Every street is trashed. There are derelict vehicles.
It's Oregon.
There's just trash everywhere. There are citizens wandering the streets just completely in need. And then there are, you know, other hostiles that you have to go encounter. And
if you had landed in Portland and not New York, would you have the same problems?
A couple of sections in Portland. But I mean, they turned Central Park into a giant like mass grave.
Yeah.
It's bad. And it is not that bad right now, but it seems like it's close.
And hopefully it won't be. You listen to the Upstate Pulse right here on 106.3 WORD. Welcome back to the Upstate Pulse. Lonzo and Chris here on a Saturday night. Finishing up, heading toward W. We have any texts, Chris?
I don't know. I'm looking at something else. We have a few. Hey, guys, if you want to read a world-class series of books, you need to read The Dark Tide Rising by John Ringo. I just got to play Just Got Zombies. It's got military people getting killed left and right. It's really good, from Jim and Easley. Okay. Maybe if you guys are, if you don't have your own video game console and you still can't go out to the movie theater, maybe pick up a book.
Yes.
Jim and Easley suggests Dark Tide Rising by John Ringo.
It's the old way of entertaining, and it's not a bad way. I have a decent library of my own.
When I was a kid, video games were called books.
It's true. It's true. It's very true. All right. There's a few things that we need to get to. We're in this weird period, like right before, and I couldn't get into Nerd Round. You know what I could do real quick though? We can talk wrestling.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Let's do that.
WWE Clash of Champions coming up tomorrow. Raw Women's Championship between Asuka and Zelina Vega. Come on, Zelina Vega, there's no way she has a chance. She is not ready for Asuka. Asuka should win that easy. And the fact that it's on the kickoff show, no. No, we're not going to do picks because there's no point anymore because the nerd wall is not the same with just one person shooting.
Yeah, I agree. That feels much more like an execution.
Yes, it does. All right. SmackDown Tag Team Championships between Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro and the Lucha House Party. I like that the Lucha House Party has tension going on right now, but I say Shinsuke and Cesaro keep the Tag Team Championships. All right. The Raw Tag Team Championships between the Street Profits, Andrade and Angel Garza. I think it's time for the Street Profits to drop the belts. I love the Street Profits, but Andrade and Angel Garza are going to exist without Zelina Vega and show that they can win without her, and they're going to win the belts. Women's Tag Team Championships, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax versus the Riot Squad. I don't see them giving the Riot Squad the belts just yet. The tension between Shayna and Nia, they got to build that up before that whole thing implodes, and it's just not there yet. United States Championship between Bobby Lashley and Apollo Crews. I think it goes back to Apollo. I do, so they can push that a little bit more, and who knows, maybe a certain other faction gets involved. Intercontinental Championship between Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn. It's a ladder match. Should be amazing. Don't be shocked to see Sami Zayn come out the victor. He had the belt before COVID. Wasn't his fault that he couldn't get back in the country. Canada closed the border and we closed the border and he just couldn't come back. All right, I'm going to let W speak real quick. Couple more matches. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is going to be the new champion. Why? Because Sasha Banks is going to come out and interfere and cause Bayley to lose. WWE Championship between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Ambulance match. I hate to say it, Randy Orton's going to come away as a champion. And finally, Universal Championship between the cousins, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. Roman Reigns retains the belt. Speaking of wrestling, Suicide Squad, John Cena's character in the new Suicide Squad was such a hit, they're already giving him a series on HBO Max.
Do you want to mention the death in the WWE family?
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this earlier in the week on Vince's show, and I discussed it on Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate. And Road Warrior Animal passed away this week, and it's so sad. And just a year ago, we talked to him on the air, and saw him at South Carolina Comic Con, and he looked so healthy, he looked fine, and then it just goes to show you never know. And he died from natural causes. They didn't say COVID. They just said natural causes. Hate to see him go. Really enjoyed watching him with my papa when I was a little kid. And I do regret not going up and meeting him in person. I have that fear. I have that problem. Talking to someone on the air is a big accomplishment to me. But going up and having those conversations in person, I still struggle with. And I'm always going to regret that I had a chance to do that. Even though I did get to talk to him on the air, I should have went up and talked to him in person.
Are you going to regret it enough not to get over your fear next time?
Yes. Well, I've already conquered that a little by talking to David Naughton last week. Warrington Gillette's totally different.
Sure.
He was fun to talk to and everything, but he wasn't a star like David Naughton. And I actually went up and talked to him. It was very awkward. But the cool part about David Naughton is he told me that it was so great to talk to us because he could tell that I knew who he was. And half the time he's interviewed by people who have no clue who he is.
Yeah.
And he said that's really cool. And he even asked if we would ever replay the interview on the air. And I said, yeah, probably. And who knows? I've been thinking about doing that some towards the end of the year.
Kind of an Upstate Pulse best of.
Yes. With us here narrating. Sure. All right. The world record holder for most Funkos Funko Pops has over 5,000 figures.
Wow. That's impressive.
And you know, I look at that and go, see, I really don't have that many. That dude's got 5,000 of them. That's a lot of money.
That's a
lot. I think
I'm kind of surprised that Funko even makes that many. I mean, I know they make a lot. They've got a huge library of those things, but
it's not just like, let's go with Dragon Ball Z. They don't make just one Goku. There's a ton of those.
Yeah.
So they do that for all the characters, and then there are exclusives like at Lunchbox or at Hot Topic or at different places. They have exclusives that you can only get at those certain stores. So I can see them making 5,000, and they're constantly making them. And I still regret that we didn't get a chance to talk to that guy who actually makes custom pops, because it would have been awesome to have an Upstate Pulse pop. I would want a bobblehead. I would want Chris with the beard, which you need to mention.
Yes. I have trimmed my beard. It's looking, I don't know. I hesitate to say castle-esque, but it is. I think it's definitely more in that direction than it was.
It's a little bushier than
it's
that.
It's a little bushier, and that's fair. The reason for that is because I have now gone under 250 pounds on the scale. I'm weighing in weekly at PhD Weight Loss, and the program is going exceedingly well. And I continue to lose weight, so that's where it is. I did also tell them in the office that once the scale goes under 220, I'm going back to the goatee.
Yes, yes. And hopefully
we're waiting for that.
You know, I'm
thinking that's going to be before the end of the year.
I hope so. I apologize for you not getting to see the beard, but
that's
it finally updated, but it was too late.
You'll get to see it next week.
Yeah,
we'll get it back up and running.
All right, Nick Fury. Samuel L. Jackson is going to do a Nick Fury series on Disney Plus.
Well, Disney Plus series have gone pretty well so far. I mean, at least for the big fandoms like Star Wars, Mandalorian is a huge hit. I could see a Marvel series like this being pretty good. I mean, actually, I absolutely could see it being really, really good.
Speaking of pretty good, WandaVision trailer out.
Yeah,
man, that is it's so weird.
It was weird, and I'm wondering if the whole show is going to be like that, or if that was just sort of a stylized trailer.
From what I understand, the whole show is going to be like that.
But to
what end? And is he still alive? And We'll see. I don't want to read into it because I want to find out by watching.
That's fair. But it looks really good, and you should go watch the trailer.
Too much speculation, and then you figure it out. I want to figure it out as I'm watching. All right. Aldis Hodge is in talks to play Hawkman in Black Adam. So now we know Hawkman is going to be in The Rock's Black Adam movie. Cannot wait to see Hawkman on the big screen and what they do with it. And that, by the way, means that we're just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. And as we said, hopefully we'll be back on the Facebook next week. I'll try to turn on the computer a little bit earlier.
We have a text before we finish.
All right.
Guys, with October approaching, would you consider doing a review of your favorite Halloween or horror-themed games? Include not just video, but board games as well, from Scott. You know what? Let's put that on the docket for next week.
Okay.
I like that idea. You just tune in next week. If we happen to come back, if we're on the air next week.
If we are.
Then that's one of the things we'll talk about.
Absolutely. By the way, make sure you have a good weekend. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.